for them to see in us a great sign that the Father preached something very different from what His Son preached. And His Son is able to keep His followers. That's a great sign. A great sign. It speaks for the, I would say, special kind of leadership that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad himself offered the people. This morning, I was going through some of the sayings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And it's amazing how broad his sayings are when you read them all. One of the sayings I just read from the book that was a little small booklet put out in the time of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad called The Sayings of Honorable Elijah Muhammad. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad says, if you want to talk to God, read the Quran. I'm telling you, I read that after this man. He was truly a marvelous man. That if you want to talk to God, read the Quran. He didn't say talk to me. He didn't say talk to brother so-and-so. He said if you want to talk to God, read the Quran. Because the Quran is the word of God. And in the Quran, God is speaking to us. God is speaking to the believers, to the people. Whoever will listen and obey. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, if you want to talk to God, read the Quran. That sentence is so powerful, especially for this day and time. It shines light on what we're doing now. I'm not pointing you to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad for salvation, and I'm not pointing you to myself for salvation. I'm pointing you to this book for salvation. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad did the same thing. But he just couldn't come out as plainly as I'm coming out because it wasn't time in the history or the events of the Nation of Islam under the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. It wasn't time. But he did the same thing when he said very plainly, if you want to talk to God, read the Quran. I think that's plain, very plain. Well, he said so many precious things that we would like to keep in our history for all time. Now, Sister Halima, the niece of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, pardon me, granddaughter of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, she came up with a suggestion for the parade. She said, could we have a float to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad in the parade? I said, yes. And I thank her for coming up with that suggestion. Because I think this parade is ideal for us and for the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad, in the very final days of his mission, he asked us to come in this kind of broad activity that we are coming into now. He asked us to think big, to think in terms of the world now, and stop thinking now. He asked us to step out in the world and do things with other people and show other people that you are willing to compete with them. He invited us to come out and compete with the Caucasians for economic gains in this country, for international trade, and to compete with him, and this is something that shot over the heads of most of us. That's why you can't see that I'm a branch and nevertheless a tree too. You can't see it because much of what Honorable Elijah Muhammad said shot over your head, shot right by your brain. He invited us to compete morally with the Caucasian. He invited us to compete morally with the Caucasian. He said, you should have civilized manners. He said, look at the white man. Look how civilized he is. He called him a dirty devil, the skunk of the planet Earth. And still he pointed to him and said, look how civilized he is. Say, don't let yourself be embarrassed in the white man, before the white man. Hold up your own dignity before the white man. Hold up your morals. He put heavy emphasis on bodily cleanliness and on decency of manner. Keep up your body, cleanliness of your body, the presentableness of your body, your dress, your clothes, and keep up your manner. He insisted that we greet the white man with respect. He insisted that we carry the best of manners out into the Caucasian world to show the Caucasian that the people he deprived of civilization had come into good manners, had been brought into good manners. And don't you know we were some of the people on earth with the worst manners? We had some of the worst manners of any people on the face of the earth. Get outside and act worse than we act at home. I've seen people go outside to act bad. Yes. At home, they didn't act quite that bad. Get outside. Hey, man, come here, sucker. Look at that old girl over there. Hey, girl, where you going, girl? Old girl dressed up going to church. And he hollered at her like that. Hey, girl, don't think I thought you're going to church this morning when you don't have to speak to me. Go on over here, you sweet little thing, you. The Army Elijah Muhammad cut that out. No follower of the Army Elijah Muhammad would holler at women in the street. Insult the dignity of the woman in the street. Wouldn't even holler at each other like that in the street. No. He taught us to quiet down. Don't be so loud. Quiet down. Don't be boisterous. Loud and boisterous. Allah says in the Quran, in advice of Luqman to his son, that the most hated of all voices is the loud, boisterous voice, like the braying of a donkey. So, dear people, this parade is a very good opportunity for us to bring in the right image of this community and the right image of our late leader, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I say right image because the race hater is not the right image. Race hater is the wrong image. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad was doing a psychological work. He was not a racist. He was not a race hater. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad hated the deeds of white supremacy and racism. But he himself was not a black supremacist, and he wasn't a racist. It takes some careful fishing in the waters of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad to bring out exactly what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was all about. But if you have the sincerity, the innocence yourself, you can fish in the waters of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and you'll find what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was all about. He had been given a whip from Prophet Muhammad. They put this whip on the European and American Caucasian. Put this whip on him. What is this whip? Tell them that they are devils by nature. Put that whip on them. Tell them that they didn't come here naturally like people come. Tell them they were grafted. They are unnatural beings, grafted devils. Put that whip on the Caucasians of Europe and America. Son of Elijah Muhammad said, thank you, Savior. Thank you, Savior. This really suits my heart's desire. This is something that I think I can love. He took up that whip and he started whipping Caucasians, and he never stopped until he died. He lightened up a little bit, but he never stopped completely. He died with a whip still in his hand. Now, whose whip was that? That was Western Caucasian man's whip. That was his whip. He's the one who said that the blacks were unnatural, not natural human beings, subhuman, devils, black devils. Yes. See, you don't know that. You know the Caucasian, most of you who are my age, or maybe younger than me. Most of you are aware that there was a time in this country when the social sciences painted us as subhuman. But many of you are not aware that the religion, the theology of the Western Caucasian painted us as the black devil. When they said that the devil was black, then they left us to be labeled as children of the devil. Cursed children of the devil. They are cursed children of the devil. So see, Father Muhammad, all he did was pick up the same whip that the Caucasian used, or the same vial. Vial of poison. He picked up the same vial of poison, and he just poured it out on the Caucasian. Caucasian poured it out on black folks all over the world. He picked it up and poured it out on so-called white folks all over the world. Same vial, wasn't a new vial, same vial. Same idea. That God has two people. One are inclined to obey him, another inclined to disobey and challenge him. The one that disobey and challenge, he eventually creates great evil. To take over the world from God. That one is called the black devil in Christian theology. To correct this, Allah brings us the guidance fresh, the Quran, and complete, and says that the night is a blessed night in which descends the Holy Spirit and the angels obeying every order of God. See how in the Quran, the night that was presented as an environment for demons, wicked spirits, is presented in the Quran as an environment for the Holy Spirit and the angels of God who obey him. They don't shirk. They don't step back from any order. Night of power is called in the Quran, the night of power. Then again, God through Prophet Muhammad has given us a Kaaba, a house that represents the center focus for all people, all nationalities, all races, all people all around the world who will come and worship God. He has given us a Kaaba there, called Kaaba. It's a square house. A square, one-room house. And that house is draped in black. And the most precious block or stone in that house is called the black stone. It is the black stone. See how the religion comes back pure and addresses the problems that blind man and treacherous man bring into the religion. God sends his messenger behind the treacherous, behind the blind ones who fall into trouble unknowingly, and behind the treacherous ones who knowingly plot schemes and change the religion. God sends the religion back fresh. I never said that black is bad. The night in which the Holy Spirit descends and the angels obeying every error, obeying every order, carrying out every order. And then he says, the stone fell from the sky as a sign to prophet Abraham where God intended for his universal house to be built. And Prophet Muhammad was missioned even before prophethood to lead the chiefs of the tribe in placing that stone back in its proper place. So the stone that was rejected was put back in its proper place. And the stone that had fallen was put back into its proper place. The same thing that fell was rejected. What fell? Human dignity. Human dignity fell. And men start worshiping angel dignity. You are not great unless you become angel-like. Flesh is sinful. Human being is born in sin. The purest ones are the ones that are closest to the angel nature. So the priest don't marry the woman. No children, no wife, no children. The priest and the nun, they're closer to God than you. To show they're closer, they don't touch any human flesh. Don't marry no woman, don't have any children. They devote themselves completely to angel interest. And warn you against getting involved in human interest. Be careful, the devil is waiting on you out there. So Christianity left human dignity and went looking for angel dignity. And God says in the Quran, had this earth been populated with angels, I would have sent you an angel as a messenger. But since it is populated with mortal human beings, I have sent you a mortal human being as a messenger. Doesn't that make good sense? Yes. Well, we just can't pass up light that we need to shine in this world. That's light that needs to shine in this world. You don't know how many people are struggling to worship God and to be a kind of religious person they want to be, but can't be it because they're confused. They think to be a real human being is to be a devil. They think to be a human being is to give themselves to the devil. To be a human being is to not to be as God wants us to be. They think that when they marry, they're committing a sin. Yes. Don't be outrageous. I'm not outrageous. This society is outrageous. Just have a little patience. You marry under fear because they say you can't have relations out of marriage. So you marry under fear, you get a license to make it acceptable, to make it legal acceptable in the eyes of God and man. Then you take the license, and when you get ready to go to bed with each other, you turn out the light. And you do the natural act in the dark. I'm talking about the good, faithful, Christian-minded man and woman. Wait a minute. We didn't turn out the light yet. The man take off his clothes with his back to his wife. And And the woman took off her clothes and back to her husband. They're getting ready with a license to do something shameful. The mind has been conditioned to think all sex is sinful. Even if you have a license, still there's something wrong about it. Something dirty, something low about it. Do you know what a knowledgeable Muslim do when he has sex? He says, Bismillah, and have sex. The woman says, Bismillah, and have sex. What Christian will say in the name of God and have a sex? Oh, I can't say in the name of God, connect a prayer with this nasty act. Oh, it's such a weak. Oh, that man is so low. He's a low scum. He's a low scum. Do you know he even pronounced the name of God before he had sex with his wife? Well, this society has conditioned our minds to see our own nature as sinful. To run away from our nature, looking for angel nature. Let me repeat what Allah says in this Quran. If this earth had been populated with angels, I would have sent you an angel as a messenger. Since it is populated with human beings, mortal beings, I have sent you a mortal human being as a messenger. Oh, yes. We got a long subject today that we're going to make short. Let's read from the Quran concerning the promise and last messenger of God. The last messenger and the promised messenger of God. I should say the promised and the last messenger of God. The one that everybody looks for, Jews and the Christians. They look for the coming of this messenger of God. One that would come and would have the light from God to show human beings how they are to live in the mosque and the church and the synagogue and in the world. The rest of the messengers, they didn't establish how the people were to live in the world. They gave people something of knowledge of how they were to live in the world. But I can show you from Scripture, and if you have the time, I can prove to you by the Bible that no prophet, not even Jesus, showed the people how they were to live their religion on the earth completely. How they were to establish their religion on the earth. Jesus said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He didn't say it was. He didn't say here it is. He didn't say, I bring your kingdom. It's going to be established on earth as it is in heaven. He said, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And to prove to you this is the correct interpretation, I'll bring you another quote from the Bible. He said, the kingdom is within you. Meaning that it's not in me, I have to go. He said, it's expedient that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. The Christian church, they say this is the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you something, buddy. Holy Ghost don't build no politics. Holy Ghost don't build no government. Holy Ghost don't build no economy. Holy Ghost just send you to do those things. He was not talking about the Holy Ghost. He was talking about another man, a prophet man, one with the light from God that will enable the people under his leadership to establish that kingdom on earth as the heavens suggested. Oh, yes. The heavens suggest to us that peace should be on earth. That there should be the order on earth. The order of men, the order of leadership. The stars don't run over each other. the stars are seeing their orbit. Some lights are greater than others. They don't challenge each other for the rule. The moon doesn't challenge the sun for the rule of day. And the sun doesn't challenge the moon for the rule of night. And the stars all see in their face. And the heavens look very peaceful, doesn't it? Oh, yes. It does its job. And wonders come down from heaven. Great forces. And a rod of lightning. Oh, there's power up there in the sky. Here comes a whole cloud of rain. And we see new life breaking up out of the soil. Oh, man, I'm telling you. The sign of God. The sign of the kind of heaven he wants down here on earth. He wants people orderly, respecting each other in their rights. He wants people recognizing the one with the greatest vision. And all of them revolving around the one with the greater vision. Look how the nine planets revolve around the sun, who has the greater vision for days. And look how the moon follows the earth and revolves around the sun. Won't even leave the earth. Say, look, I'm not a planet, but I'm too small to compete with this great light that is called sun. So I choose to stay with you, and you take me around the sun. So the moon chooses to stay with the earth, and the earth takes the moon around the sun with all of the other eight planets in the solar system. All of them going around the sun. That sucker want me to revolve around him. I ain't gonna revolve around nobody. You don't know how to read the heavens, buddy. You don't know what Jesus promised. Jesus promised that there would be a kingdom on this earth one day like the one in heaven. Meaning that men will acknowledge the greater knowledge in man. And they will follow the one with the greater knowledge. And they will all respect their individual places. No one will be trying to step out of his place into somebody else's place. Everyone will be satisfied with his own power, with his own dignity, with his own human worth. Each one will man his own post. It will not be jumping off his post on another one's post. Yes. And all together they will make up one beautiful system of peace and order. Isn't that be wonderful? Scripture say, and your feet shall be like the stars. And then Jacobite came along and said, in God, putting himself in God's own person, your seed shall be as the sands of the sea. You'll walk on the sand. They just blend all in as one thing. I don't see any pattern of order in the sand. The sand shows no order. Sand shows no government. The stars show order and government. The sand show just one thing. Everything simple and dead. Got all spirit and no life. The sand get all the water on the beach. It says it shall be as the sand on the seashore. Sand on the seashore get all the water but nothing else. Nothing to bleed. Nothing green growing. That's the sand. You've seen the sand of the seashore. Yes. They say that means that the sea shall be many like the grains of sand. Yeah, well. You just leave that long as you want to. be without order, without government, without structure, and without life. What kind of life? Without academic life. For a long time, the general masses of the people were kept out of the opportunity to gain knowledge. They weren't allowed even to learn how to read. This was under Christian leadership. Without knowledge, without government, masses just left with nothing but Puritan religion. Puritan religion. Fine brimstone religion that makes you Puritan-minded. Oh, don't do that. God will strike you dead. But you kill each other. Kill each other, cut each other's throat. Well, so much for that. We don't want an order like the sands on the sea. We don't want an order like the stars in the heavens. They shine light for the dark world. And they show that they have been given arrangements, that they have been given positions and arrangements. The sand shows nothing but that it is clean of life, cleaned out of life. That's all it shows. You know, we are told that if we don't have water, we can use sand, right? For washing, wudu, ablution in Islam. If we don't have water, use sand. Or any clean earth, not just sand, any clean earth. But the water is better than the sand, right? For making ablution. And then there's a water even better than the water, ordinary water we make ablution in. It's a better water for ablution. The ordinary ablution is not to be drank. You just wash and the outside, and if you put it in, you spit it out. Right? You don't drink it. You wash the mouth and spit what you put in out. But there's the well of Zamzam. A water with more significance in the context of Scripture. You wash with that water and you also drink it. It is recommended that you drink it. You wash with it and you put it inside. You drink it. Take it internally. So whatever made these reference to this, pardon me, this discussion on this sand and water for. I'll tell you this, there's another message here that most of us miss. That promise in the Bible saying your seed shall be as the sand. It means that the spiritual life shall be taken out. The sand is right by spiritual life, but it can't hold water. The water come on it and it loses the water. Right? Yes, it can't hold water. And it's right there at the water, but can't hold the water. And that's the way the Christian society is. They are right in the spiritual life. They get more spiritual teaching than Jews and Muslims. Yes, get more spiritual teaching than Jews and Muslims. But they are like sand, they can't hold any water. Why? Because the life has been taken out, they're dead. They have two ways of looking at themselves. They see themselves as the children of God, who are trying to be holy angels. And they see themselves on the other side as human also live in the flesh. On the other, on this side, they think purely rational. They are dry, dead, without life like fair. Purely rational. They say you can't mix religion with business. Can't mix religion with politics. Can't mix religion with science. So in their human logical world, they are dry of the water of spiritual teachers. And in their spiritual world, they are grounded and without the earth and fire and air of rational teaching. Can you understand what I'm showing you here? The mind is split. And the mind is made to see the entity, the human entity, the human being, in two separate entities. On the one side of the margin, I am a flesh and blood human being, wanting sex, money, power, etc. When I go after my human aspirations, I cannot take with me my spiritual life. I have to keep my spiritual life out of my human aspirations. Or, if you want to put it this way, my worldly or social aspirations. Is that right? So they are like sand that won't hold water. A dry logic that won't even admit the other logic. There's not logic just for flesh and materialism. There's logic also for soul and spiritualism. But they won't admit logic into that part. They only admit logic into the human, so-called human, that is not human. Their concept of the human is animal. So they have two concepts of the human being. One is animal, the other one is angel. The animal can't take with him his religious life. Don't mix it in the business. Don't bring it into politics. Don't mix it into science. Keep those religious ideas out of politics, out of business, out of science. Isn't that true? Because on this side, you're animal. Now go to church. Take with you the angel. Come on, little children. You're a child of God. So you're living two personalities. You're living two personalities. You're living an animal personality on one side and an angel personality on the other side. You go to the church as a child of God, as a spirit, as an angel, and you go to work and to school as an animal. Yes. So that's water and sand. And they just meet each other, but they can't mix. The water won't hold to the sand, and the sand stays dead. You need all the human essence. You need all the human elements in the earth for it to grow. So what does Allah say in this Quran? And he made his man from black, stinky earth. Not from no dead sand. Made his man from black, smelly earth. Oh, I don't like this sex. It smells. I don't like this musk. It smells. I don't like the breath when it doesn't have the dynamite. It smells. God say, I don't care if it does smell. I'm going to make my profit from that smelly man. Ain't no angel help this world. I have to have a smelly man. But when I get through with him, he will keep himself clean. You won't smell him. He will keep himself clean. And when I breathe into him of my revelation, I'll bow to him. Oh, yes. When I have breathed into him of my revelation, submit to his authority. Allah said in this Quran, obey God and obey his messenger. and those placed in the right of authority, given the right of authority over you. Who are these? These are human beings. No, you're not going to pray to no angel. Saint Michael? No, no. As long as they're human beings, we'll talk to them and pray to God. But once they become something else other than human beings, we leave them to God. They have no place in our world. Now, God promised us a prophet that will bring us the full life. Life by which we can live a full life in the world. What does he say in this Quran of that prophet? I'll read. The unlettered prophet. In Arabic, Ar-Rasul al-Nabi al-Ummi. The prophet or messenger. The prophet and messenger that has not been schooled, tutored, or educated by human beings, have no more than natural human common sense, mother wit. What does he say of this one? This is the one that he's going to pick. Whom they find mentioned in their own scriptures, in the Torah and in the Gospel. Are in the law and in the gospel. For he commands them what is just and forbids them what is evil. He allows them as lawful all that is good and pure, and he prohibits them all that is bad and impure. He takes from them the heavy burden. The yokes that are upon them. Yokes signify a people oppressed. A people oppressed. Yokes signify a subject. A subject. Servile. Slavish people. I continue. So it is those who believe in him that honor him and help him and follow the light which is sent down with him. And Nur, follow the light, and Nur levi unzila ma'a. And follow the light that is sent down with him. Now, the translator here, he could have translated it with it. But he didn't choose that say with it. He said with him. Oh, what is this saying to the reader? It is saying that Prophet Muhammad came down with the light. If Prophet Muhammad came down with the light, then how is this? What does the scripture promise the Christian? The Christians are promised that Jesus shall return. When he returns, he shall return in the clouds, or riding the clouds of heaven. And he shall descend from the clouds to the earth. Allah is telling us here and in many other places in this Quran that the correct understanding of that prophecy is this. The light coming from the clouds, meaning understanding coming out of confused scripture. And confusion in the leadership of the religious world. That's the clouds. Spiritual confusion. Oh, yes. And the prophecy that Jesus himself shall come down to is to be understood in this same connection. This light came down with Prophet Muhammad.
the Quran came down to him, and at the same time, he comes down with it. God revealed it to him. As God said, he revealed it on his heart, to his conscience. And he comes down with it. The light comes to him, and then he brings the light to the people. The people in this kind of comparison are beneath Prophet Muhammad when he becomes prophet. He's on a high plane of enlightenment. So he has to come down to our low common plane. And he comes down with that light that was revealed to him. So the light comes down to us, to our low common level. And the prophet who was raised up to that high level has to come down to us, to our low common level. So they say Jesus is coming in the cloud. They're looking for a human being to come out of the cloud, many of them. And it's a shame that many Muslims have been convinced, or influenced, to believe that Jesus is coming out of the sky. No physical man is ever coming out of any sky. What would be the purpose of that? I'm not saying Jesus is not to come back. Certainly. The Quran gives us enough understanding on this subject to make us know that Jesus will come back. And a hadith of Prophet Muhammad also promises that Jesus will return, and that he and the Prophet Jesus will be close, will be in the judgment. This is promised. Don't you know in Jesus, according to the Bible, two other prophets appeared? There was not just two, there were three. There was Jesus, Elijah, and Moses. Peace be on them. Is that right? Now, dear people, look at this. See, we won't understand this. The promise of a kingdom to come is not just an earthly society. It is a society of light. Light is coming. Scripture saying a city came down out of the sky. A city of light. And the Quran says, and the earth shall shine. Shall shine as one of the light. Light has to come to the whole earth. I mean understanding. So here in this Christian scripture, Jesus is on earth, and two other prophets are with him, Moses and Elijah. And those two prophets are explained by Jesus, according to the Christian New Testament, to be in Jesus. Moses and Elijah appeared, and they were seen, and the disciples saw them and thought that they were supposed to also follow them. And Jesus explained to them that no, Elijah and Moses are within me, not within my flesh or within my soul, but within my symbolic flesh and my symbolic soul. They are within my knowledge, within my spirit. I have the spirit of Elijah, I have the spirit of Moses, and I have been given the knowledge that God gave to Moses and the knowledge that God gave to Elijah. When you see their light separately, and you see their light come together in one body, that's the Christ light. I'm giving you the New Testament. This is how Jesus explained it according to the New Testament. That their work, their light, their mission, their knowledge, when you see them together in one body, that's Christ's mission, his light, called the Transfiguration. Any preacher here? Say amen so these people will know that I'm on the right course. Because the preacher knows, he can say amen. This is what I'm getting at. Prophet Muhammad also gave us an expectation. He induced in us an expectation. We expect to see Jesus again. We will see Jesus again. We see Jesus again in that Christ role that Prophet Muhammad himself lived out. And that role that will continue in the Mujaddis that are to follow Prophet Muhammad. Yes. That's how the Christ lives. That's how he comes back. And he agrees with Prophet Muhammad. Prophet Muhammad, the peace and blessings be upon him, he said, and they shall see that we are brothers, that Jesus and I are together. Yes. Don't think that God is going to dig something up out of the grave or bring something back from the refrigerator upstairs. Say, here is the man I've been keeping on deep freeze in the heavens. You think God would do a monstrous thing like that and make us crazy? We'd all go crazy if we saw something like that. Man come down out of the sky with wounds in his hands and his feet. Wound in his chest, a wound in his chest, still bleeding after 2,000 years. And he comes slowly creeping down out of the sky from the clouds. Most of the people wouldn't be, we wouldn't have the saneness of mind to even get what's to come after that. That will kill the whole show. The whole show will be killed by that. Yeah, everybody be stoned up. God is not a Walt Disney. He's God. Time is marching on, and I hope to march on too. Let's look again at the Quranic teaching. We want to understand religion. And believe me, whether you're Christian, Muslim, Jew, I don't care what you are. When you come under an Islamic lecture or Islamic discussion, you are going to be enlightened. Not only you, the one who teaches you, he will be enlightened as he teaches you. No teacher can be saved from education while he's given Islamic education. He's going to be educated too. Because this knowledge is so much above our minds. It's so broader and bigger than our human concept, human vision, that even the teacher is being educated while he's teaching. Oh, yes. This is true of most sincere people, though. If a sincere person take up any subject, God will bless him with understanding as he delivers his material. That's the blessing of God. But with this book, it's so full of life. The moment you touch it, understanding instantly comes into the mind. If you're sincere. And if you're not sincere, you can't touch it. Oh, no. If you're not sincere, you can't touch this book. You'll do this and... Oh, you're not sincere, you can't touch it. We don't have to worry about that. Oh, man, the printer printed that book. He didn't touch it unless he was a good Muslim, sincere. Where they get the paper from? He didn't touch it. Don't worry, he didn't touch it unless he was sincere. Who shipped it? He didn't touch it either unless he was sincere. And I can give it to you right now. You can't touch it either unless you're sincere. I don't want no fool coming up here and touching the book now. If you don't, you just say that. You can touch cardboard and paper. I know you can do that. You can touch cardboard, paper, and ink. You can do that. But you can't touch the Quran. Quran means that is to be read. You cannot touch the reading. You can touch the ink, but you can't touch the reading. Now, God says in a parable to us in the Quran, see how one water, plants come up different from each other, inferior and superior to each other, some with inferior quality, some with superior quality. All watered by one and the same water. Dear people, we have to recognize that all human beings are not the same. Never have been, never will be. Each one of us are free to earn reward from Allah. Some of us are not as interested in pleasing Allah as others. Some are more selfish. They grow into thorns. Crapgrass. Others are more inclined to God and are less selfish. They want to help others as well as themselves. They grow into something beautiful. Attractive to all people. God says that He water the earth with one water, and plants will come up different from each other in quality and in worth. Again, dear people, look at our human aspirations, how all of us have something that we want. But some of us are so selfish in our aspirations that we grow inhumanly instead of humanly. So God, He has to tell us what is our own aspiration. That's what we have to realize. That God, He feeds us. The life for the spirit as well as the life for the flesh. He feeds us. And we have to understand also that it is the Almighty Creator Himself. He is the one who enlightens us. We don't enlighten ourselves. Einstein didn't make himself the successful scientist he was. Faster and none of the rest made themselves the successful scientists that they were. It was because of the blessing of God that they became the successful scientists they were. They were given a brain. Their interest was a blessing. Their brain was a gift of God. Health of it a gift of God. The interest was a gift of God. They had to have an interest. They got the brain, no interest, nothing happened. You have to have interest. The drive was a gift of God. Interest, no drive, nothing happens. Yes. And then God comes and aids all that and make accidents happen to show the scientists something he couldn't find scientifically. How many great discoveries we have heard, and the report says, no, I wasn't after that. I was after something else. I ran upon this by accident. Look at the penicillin that helped the health problem so much. The man who discovered penicillin, he tells us how he found it. He said he had an experiment. He was trying to discover something or invent some botany to kill certain bacteria. It so happened that he left his lunch on the windowsill above his experiment. And like scientists, they get so engrossed in their work that they forget themselves. He forgot his sandwiches. Mold grew on the bread. One day a breeze in the window blew the mold off his bread into his experiment. He came to test the germs, and he found that the germs were dead. He then had to find out how come they are dead. I didn't do it. How come these germs are dead? This is the man that discovered penicillin. He looked and he found the answer. He saw that the bread was molded in the window, and he saw that the stuff he had found in his experiment was mold that had blown off the bread into his experiment. Then he created a bacteria like the bread mold, and that's how we got penicillin. So actually, who gave us penicillin? Allah gave us penicillin. Yes, Allah gave us penicillin. And who was the messenger of his gift, of receiving his gift for us? The man who brought the doctor, the scientist, who gets the credit for giving us the penicillin. Yeah. Allah says in the Quran that he is the creator of all of the world. Says he is the creator of all the world, the creator of everything. Now listen, he says, when the question is asked in the Quran, oh, how is this going to happen, God? How are you going to give us a child? And my wife is beyond the age of bearing. Oh, God, I'm not an unfaithful woman. How am I going to have a lad, a young lad, this Christ child, prophet? And no man has touched me, God said. He creates what he will. He creates what he will. Didn't say he has a marriage when he pleases. He does not marry. This immaculate conception is a miracle of creation, not a miracle of some kind of sexual concept. He says he creates what he will. Oh, my goodness, I wish you could enjoy this like me. He creates what he will. Oh, yes. See, the act of creation, as we originally conceived the act of creation, is a mystery. Man can make, but man can't create. Man's creation is really a creation from what God has already produced. We use the term creation, but when we think of God, we don't see God as a creator in any human sense. When we say God created the sun, we mean we don't know how he did it. So how did that get there, man? God created it. We mean we don't know how it happened. But God did it. So God said he created Adam from dust. God said he created the sun and the moon and everything. And God said he created John the Baptist and Jesus. And he also created the miracle that brought us the penicillin. And look how beautiful this is. He says, declare himself before God and man. He says, in words, not that my faith is weak, God, but so my soul will be quiet, just to rest my soul. Tell me how you want to raise the dead. God, I believe in you. My faith is solid. I ain't answering this question as a non-believer. God, but just so my curious mind, my curious soul, just so it'll rest. This is a thing that appeals to the curiosity of my soul. My soul wrestles with this, wrestles with this mystery. Please, so my soul will rest, God. Tell me, how are you going to raise people that die on earth? Go back into the ground. Meat go off their bones and their bones turn to dust. Oh, if they be dust or something harder to raise, I will raise them. God, how are you going to raise the dead? Abraham, train four birds. Take them and put them on four mountains. And then call them to you, they come. Oh, my goodness. How wonderful the script is. Then if the man is looking for Qibla, he wants a Kaaba, he wants a universal court shrine, he wants a center, a focus for all people, as a political aspiration, a human aspiration, a soul sign, a soul symbol that serves the aspirations of human beings. I have established one. Oh, Muhammad, I'm going to rest your soul. Turn your eyes now. I'm going to show you a Qibla. I'm going to show you a center that your heart will be pleased with. Turn your eyes now to the first Qibla, to the first shrine that I accept. The one at Mecca, now called Mecca. Look now at that simple four-room, one-room house. Pardon me. That simple one-room house with four walls, four corners. That's the Qibla I want you to turn to. Oh, yes. Put four birds on four mountains. If you have trained them, when you call them, they're going to come to you. Oh, yes. God putting the questions in the mouth of the prophet. Prophet can't ask those questions like that. The very question is revelation. That's how come it's in the book. My God, I feel like taking a float again. Going up in the sky. Dear people, look how the Quran addressed the confusion and mystery that the Bible left on the world. The Bible says in Genesis that four rivers went out from the garden and became his. Oh, yes. And the revelation, the last part of the book, said a city came down from the heavens. And just preceding this revelation, the book says, and four creatures went up from the earth. Four creatures went up from the earth. All talking about human aspirations. What are our aspirations? We need to learn from God. What are the human aspirations? The human being, he wants to satisfy the desire for worship, the worship of God. He also wants to satisfy his desire to be at peace with his fellow man, with other human beings. He also wants to regulate his material life so that everybody will get their fair share of the material blessings. Oh, yes. He also wants understanding. He wants to elevate his own intellect higher and higher into greater fields of understanding until he can really feel at home or rested with the knowledge that he's wrestling or grappling with. Aren't these the aspirations of human beings? Yes. These are the aspirations of all human beings. All human beings have a spiritual curiosity. All human beings are looking for spiritual logic. All human beings are looking for material logic that will regulate their world and bring justice to the material world. Is that right? All human beings are looking for rational logic. They want to have logic, the light of logic, in their institutions of learning. Oh, yes. So the human beings have these four fundamental or basic aspirations. Off from them branch many others. Many aspirations or desires and interests spring off from those. But essentially, we have four. Man wants to know his flesh. Man wants to know his spirit. Man wants to know knowledge. Man wants to know his God. Is that right? Yes. These curiosities are in us. I want to know my spirit. I want to know my flesh. I want to know my God. And I want to know how to structure life in this world. Therefore, I have to know science. Yes. Where does that knowledge come from? In what symbol do we find that curiosity? It is only in the human being. You won't find it in a stone. You won't find it in a tree. You won't find it in an angel. Angels don't want no four-cornered house. You find it only in a human being. It is a human being that wants those four things, or four essential things, and off from them spring many other interests. His interest multiplied, multiplied, multiplied. Oh, yes. Dear people, the scripture says, lift me up, and I will raise all men unto me. Is that right? Well, let's put it another way. Lift what is essentially and what is holy a human being. Lift up what is essentially and what is holy a human being. Lift that up as human aspiration. Lift that up to attract the human desire, the human ambition, and you will bring all men up to that. What I'm saying, you don't have to lift Jesus Christ, the Son of God, up. Lift Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, up. Lift the Son of a human being up. The Son of a natural human being up. Lift the Son of Man up. Lift him up in his full glory. Lift him up in his full aspiration. And all other human beings will be lifted up unto him, because all of us are just as he is. We all have one common human essence. One common human essence, one common human aspiration. Our aspirations are the same. Our nature are the same. Is that right? Everyone knows that. Nature for the human being is the same universally. When human being is given the freedom to pursue his own aspirations, you will find that human aspirations are also universal. Universal. Everywhere on this earth, I don't care, you can go to Communist China, you can go to Moscow. Everywhere on this earth, to Cuba, you can go anywhere on this earth. Go to the Vatican, Rome, Italy. And you'll find that even the Pope's angels have in them the same curiosity, same essential curiosity. Want to know the flesh, want to know the spirit, want to worship something, and that is God. Human being will never be satisfied wishing up anything that it can see itself above. Human being, once he sees itself above the thing he worships, he puts down that thing he's worshiping. And this innate, this inborn desire for worshiping a human being leads him eventually to the concept of God. He won't settle for anything second or under God. He eventually comes home and he worships God. Oh, yes. Is this important to you? People, this is school education. More important to you than your college education. I don't care if you're a sociologist. I don't care if you're political, your field is political science or political psychology. I don't care what your field is. If you don't have this simple concept of man and his needs, his human needs, these aspirations are essential natural needs. God says in this Quran that he created the earth and gave everything its needs in four periods. Gave everything its risk, its provision, or its needs in four periods. Meaning this, that this is not only the human being aspiration. The human being is the one to fulfill this. But a dog also wants to know his flesh. A dog also wants to know his spirit. A dog also wants to worship something bigger than he is. A dog also wants to be trained. He wants knowledge. That's in the animal, it's in the human being. Not only that, the earth too wants to know his flesh. The earth too wants to know her spirit. The earth too wants to evolve to a higher plane of life. Oh, yes. Oh, mister, this is too complicated for me. No, it's too complicated for that artificial you. Come back to the natural you, and it's simple, baby. Oh, yes. Look, where do you think the earth is going? The earth is going to you. So if you were once earth, then the earth wanted you. And if the earth wanted you, it wanted knowledge. It wanted to worship God. It wanted to master its own material body. Yes. Gee whiz, baby. Look here. Look. Let me give it to you right in the pillars of Islam. Salat. Zakat. Soul of fasting, Hajj. Isn't that wonderful? One other is a centerfold for all of that. Allah. La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. How you gonna get the Hajj? You've got to say La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. You got to make salat. You got to fast Ramadan. You got to pay zakat. And then, the last thing you have to do, make a heart. Is that right? Make a heart. So here, we find all of these essential needs in the human being. Actually, they're essentially four. But God is telling us that once we have done his job, he needs nothing from us. We need everything from him. So if we do his job, if we do what he asks of us, then we will have our whole society established intact, providing all that we need in this life. All that we need in this human life. The worship of God, which is acted out in prayer, that's the very beginning of it. Man prays to God as an expression of his devotion to God. Then he finds that his flesh is at war with his spirit or his soul because of confusion. His mind misinterprets. And his mind places burden on his flesh that his flesh was not made to carry. Then his flesh began to rebel, began to speak out against the unnatural burden that the man's mind, in darkness or in confusion, put on the flesh. So now his flesh becomes a torment for him. Then the man says, I have led my flesh to become an enemy to me.
I'm going to leave my flesh back to its normal, natural life. He does this by restraining the appetites of the flesh. Let's say I want some water. So, I know. You've been wanting a lot of things that you shouldn't have. I've let you go too far. I have encouraged you to take too much on yourself. You know, no water until the sunset. This is God's Ramadan. Well, can I have just a piece of bread? No. Well, can I have some sex? No. Can I just have a kiss, a sexy kiss? No. Just rest until I say it's time. So let's say, okay. If you can put up with it, I can. See, after all, it wasn't my problem to start with. It was yours. So here go the soul, the spirit. Oh, Lord, please give me strength to go through Ramadan. Spirit, pleading to God for help. Let's say I can make it if you can. Call on God to get help, too. God give him help if he's sincere. He forget he's hungry. And he forgets, the stomach forgets. The more he forgets, the stomach, more the stomach forgets. After a while, the stomach doesn't even remind him no more. Say, well, buddy, you passed the test. See, just like your extremism led me to become a problem for you. Your extremism in the obedience to Allah have led me to become myself again. I don't bother you no more. Isn't it beautiful and wonderful? Yes. That man is born natural. God made us right, good. But we, with our foolish minds, go to extremes. And God say, God against the extreme. Lord tell us over and over again in the Quran, protect yourself against the extreme. We go to extremes, we lead the flesh to extremes. We give the flesh an appetite bigger than it had by nature. It never had an appetite that big by nature. We give it an appetite bigger than it had by nature. Now it wants milk, bread, fruit, oranges. Apples, nuts of about 10 or 15 varieties, cooked meat and raw meat, caviar, unborn octopus, snail, white rat cooked in the finest French oven, and grasshoppers. Eat tar. And then some things you can't eat, they produce the flavor for it. Yeah. Kerosene taste and liquid. Toe jam, selling cheese. You ain't supposed to eat toe jam.
jam, so they go and produce a cheese that smells just like soul jam. Now, you'll keep on with this, it'll get too bad. It gets too far. But you can carry it the rest of the way with your imagination. See how the man reduces himself. God said, you made us in the most excellent form. You've given us to excellence. And he who watches over the cultivation of his spirit or soul, he rises into success, higher and higher achievement. But he who neglects it falls to the lowest of the low. Become debased and despised. God says that he had made the man for excellence, made him in the most excellent mold. But consequently, he's reduced to the lowest of the low because of his own foolishness, going to extremes. So it's good, dear people, to let God shine the light on your own machinery and show you how you operate, what your aspirations are, where you want to go by nature. Limit your freedom. God give us freedom, we can take it. But man, he finds that he can't manage as much freedom as God gave him. When he comes back to God, say, oh God, I can't manage all the freedom you gave me. Say, please, will you take charge and show me how I have to manage all this freedom? God says, come, O soul, pleasing and well pleased, give me you my paradise. Since you didn't seek your own pleasure, you gave up seeking your own pleasure, and you decided to come to me so that I will show you, to guide you to your pleasure. Now I'm going to really make you please, and you're pleasing me. And that paradise, that concept of the perfect utopian life that you wanted, come on into it. You have found the door. The door is pleasing me. Oh, yes. Lift me up, and I will draw me all men unto me. This statement is not in the Quran, but nevertheless, it is there. Not this statement, but the correction is there. God says, your death and your resurrection is as one soul. Kenetzin wahida. Your death and your resurrection is as one soul. Just raise one human being up. If God raised one human being up and established that human being as the model human being, and if that human being is a symbol of the natural aspirations of all human beings, free of racism, free of blind naturalism, free of selfishness and prejudices and all other evil, not desiring mastery or supremacy or any corruption in the land, as Allah says in his Quran. If that one human being is set up as a model and is shown to the world that he represents the aspirations, the universal aspirations of all people, if that human being is lifted up, meaning if we accept him in the position of authority as leader for other human beings, then all of us will gravitate toward his leadership. And in so doing, we all will rise up with him. Oh, yes. Your death and your resurrection is as one soul. It only takes one person to become wicked. One person become corrupt. And he will work and scheme if he pursue it and stick to it, persevere, pursue his wickedness. Eventually, he's going to draw other people to him. Pretty soon, he get enough power to enforce his own wicked rule on others. And the whole society, the whole world dies because one devil took the lead and led the world down to doom. God raised up one prophet, or one good man is inspired, and that one good citizen showed the people his citizen, and he began to quicken the same kind of good soul and good aspirations in other people. And pretty soon a company is built. a congregation is built, and it begins to grow, and its influences begin to spread. And in time, that one man can lift the whole society up again. So the world is destroyed because of one individual going bad, and the world is saved because of one individual going back to his natural goodness. Yes. Dear people, we are going to have a parade. It's a parade that we started, but we started with the desire to see it grow too big for us to hold it. Our desire from the very start was to see this parade being shared and possessed by all the people of Chicago. I didn't know it was coming just 3 years. Here is nothing but the third year. In fact, just 2 years. A little better than 2 years. The third parade now has become a parade for Chicago. It's not a WCIW parade. This is Chicago's parade. And Mr. Ben Branch says, this concept is too big for Chicago. He says it's going to grow out of Chicago until it becomes a United States parade. It's going to become a parade for all the people of the United States. A parade that calls people to come back to what they are essentially by nature. And to support what is the aspirations of every human being by nature. We're not coming out with any banners saying down with the KKK. We're not going to attack any political figures. We're not going to attack the male for his chauvinism. We're just going to let the focus come on the natural human being and his aspirations. Show the human being is his universal aspirations. Show him separated from his narrow appetite. Show him sitting at the four-corner table with all the people of the world, dining on the universal food. Say, oh, what you eating? I've eaten something from four corners of the table. I'm eating something that was prepared in 4 periods when the earth was made. Oh, have you gone back that far? Yes, I've gone back to the beginning when the earth was made. And I'm eating from the four corners of the table. See, the Holy Prophet, he never would eat from the center of a plate. The Holy Prophet Muhammad, he never would eat from the center of the plate. When you brought him food, he would always eat from the edge and work his way into the center. Why? Because the walls must be conquered first, baby, and then we will live in the living room. Woo! Oh, yes. First, we got to eat at the wall. Let's eat from the four walls, eat from the four corners of the plate. Now, dear people, our theme for this parade is a theme that the champion Muhammad Ali has taken up himself. Human dignity and justice. Actually, they are one and the same. You can't have anything but justice when you're respecting what is essentially and naturally human dignity. In fact, human dignity is the pattern for weaving ourselves into justice. Oh, yes. You want to have justice? Respect human dignity. But you can't respect human dignity until you know what is naturally human and what is naturally human aspiration. God has revealed that to us.